Rowan, come and tell us your story. It is a walk of mourning, I know. I thought that one. You see, as I was thinking it, I kind of got a mixture of people that some of you probably know more about what they've done, and some of you might think, where's Rowan been on mission and what's she done? In fact, Rowan said to me, I haven't done anything.
Back in August 2012, I went to Olotonango in Guatemala in Central America. I thought this was going to be more of like an interview.
I know, I'm quite enjoying just standing here. I like listening to stories. Okay, Rowan. So, how long did you go to Guatemala for?
Okay. 4 weeks.
And your 4 weeks in Guatemala, what did you do?
We primarily went out. There was a team of 8 of us. I was one of the oldest. We went out there to build a classroom for a church there, run by a family, Juan and Rosa, and their 3 children. And I'm not going to pronounce their names. So we built a classroom with the help of Ronaldo. He's a brilliant builder. Not quite, but we did give him a pair of shoes. And we also did a bit of teaching. We taught English to some old and young Guatemalans. And we went into the schools with Juan to do some biblical values teaching.
Okay, so you did, it was quite practical because you built the classroom, but then you also backed that up as well. Okay, so that's what you did. What did you, and I'm sure you saw God doing amazing things through that. So what did God do in you while you were there?
What didn't he do? I think he, wow, I'm quite glad you asked me to do this because I got out my little box of things that I'd kept from Guatemala and I was looking through sort of things that I'd written about and it was a nice little reminder, took me back, so thank you very much. And reflecting back on it, I think the main thing that he taught me was that he can use me even at my lowest and even at my weakest. So I didn't speak any Spanish. I didn't really feel like I could offer anything. There seems to be a bit of a theme. But he taught me that actually that's the best place to be. And it was all God. I can't stand here and say that I did anything because he did it all.
So what change do you think there was in you? So you're saying God used you at your lowest, you were able to see that he could use when you couldn't do anything at all. How did that change, do you think, you, who you were there, but also when you came back?
I think, like Adrian and Mum said, he started me on a journey of sort of self-acceptance almost. So I started to accept those weak parts of me, and I'm still learning to embrace them. And I think, yeah, that's a good place to be. So yeah, he led me on this journey of self-acceptance and also sort of opened up my heart and eyes to what he wants me to be doing, I think. Because it's not much that makes me angry. But there was a couple of things there. Yeah, Sam. Sorry,
Sam. That from the podcast.
Yeah, he knows. he sort of planted those things in my heart for justice, things like that. So talk to me a bit more if you want to know what makes me angry.
We'll see if you can make her angry, if you'd like a challenge. Is there anything else you want to say?
Should I tell a story?
Yeah, tell us a story.
I'll read this verse that God sort of...
Rowan just said one side, and then the truth is, she's actually got loads of you.
Well, this is from Guatemala. I wrote this in... So Isaiah 58:6-14 in massive letters, so I can read it. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. At the end of our 4 weeks, we spent a few days by a lake, which was absolutely beautiful. I also got electrocuted in the shower, but that's another story. It was my own fault. Well, it was a warm shower, but it wasn't warm enough, so I tried to fiddle with it, not really looking that there was exposed wires at the top and just touch them. Anyway, that's not the story I wanted to tell.
Well, thanks. Good.
So one night we were walking to church with the rest of the group down the road, and there was a brothel just around the corner. There was a brothel just around the corner, and there was lots of bars as well. And there was a man that I'd seen there before, actually, but this time we went round the corner. He was on the ground. He'd cut his head, and everyone just seemed to be watching him and not really doing anything. So I went over to him and tried to help him up. And as he looked at me, he'd obviously something wrong with his eye. It was all glazed over. He had a cut just above his head. He was speaking to me in Spanish. I didn't know what he was saying. But as I stood there, not really knowing what to do or what help to give, I saw Jesus, and I thought, and that not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. I think somehow it's easier to help people in a place that's not your own community, but it's a lot harder to come back and do it here.
That's right. Massive. Thank you.
Eden. Okay, if you don't know, this is my son, who I'm also very proud of. Got three others that I'm proud of too. Nearly forgot one of them. So Eden, can you tell us, although I've kind of said a bit already, can you tell us where you lived and how long you lived there, and how old were you when you went, and how old were you when you came back?
I went to Albania. I lived there for 6 years, and I went there when I was six, and I came back when I was 12.
Okay, thank you. What did you do in Albania?
I did missionary work.
What? You did? Go on. With your missionary work, what kind of things did that involve? He did do missionary work.
I told people about God.
Where?
At Burimer and at school.
So Eden's got a little illustration for us this morning to kind of talk about what he did, and a difference that he saw God making. Do you want me to hold the microphone while you talk?
I had a friend who I met him in year one, and then we became friends, and at first he thought that the Bible was just an empty book like this. And I invited him to come to Burima, and after a few weeks of asking he finally came, and he learned a bit about the Bible after a few weeks, and then he just thought that it was stories, but it wasn't that interesting. After a few weeks...
A few months, wasn't it?
He became a Christian and asked God to live with him, and he knew that the Bible wasn't just a book of pictures, but it was life.
If you couldn't see that, show that side.
It was life.
It was full of colour. Show this side, in case I didn't see it. It's full of colour. Okay. So you were able to share, by inviting somebody to something, they then got to know more about God, and then they made a decision for God. What difference do you think living in Albania, it's a bit of a hard question for you, what difference do you think it's made to who you are?
It's made me become a better Christian and to make friends easier.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to say anything else? We were always very careful to make it quite clear that our kids didn't come along with us on mission. When we were sent out from this church, we were sent out as a family, and the kids were as much missionaries as we were. It made no difference whether it was Matilda from 6 months old to Eden as a 12-year-old. And that's just one of the stories of kind of Eden's friends who became Christians and the difference that he made through his life. When he left Albania, his teachers gave him presents, which you might go, yeah, well, what's with that? Teachers in Albania aren't paid very much, and they gave their own money to buy him a present, a special present, each of them, for him to bring back because of the difference and the influence that he'd made. And still, his headmaster emails us and sends us messages to ask how Eden's doing and to keep up to date with him because of the influence that Eden had. I've got another picture. Oh, right, just not move these on much. Keep going, it's way after that. This one. This is my friend Don. His name's Don Morris. And he sent me an email and said, "Hi, my name is Don Morris. I pray..." I can't read it on my paper. I probably can't read it there either. "I pray for many on the GPM team in Albania," which was a team we worked with. "I'd like to add you to my prayer journals. I am friends with Katie, Nicole, Jessica, the Orkermans and the Bishops. I pray for them as well and receive regular email newsletters from them. I would like to receive correspondence from you via email." Being a bit careful, I didn't just email back and go, "Yes, lovely, here's our prayer letter," and send it to them. I kind of chatted to my friends and did a bit of Facebook stalking and went, "Who is this person? And is it somebody I want to know what prayer issues we need or what things are happening in our lives right now?" And as I asked around, everybody went, "Oh yeah, Don is really good. Put him on your list." And whenever we had a prayer request, Don would be one of the first people that I emailed because I knew he was praying. He didn't just send that email and say, "Oh, I'd like to pray for you," and then you think maybe once a year he would think about you, or they'd have a mission Sunday at church and he'd pray about you. I knew he got up in the middle of the night to pray for the missionaries. And some days he would just send an email and go, "I was thinking about you today. I just want you to know," and would send emails like that. And you can see on this picture, him and his wife, and they adopted this family. They have children. They had their own children as well. And that meant that because he had some illnesses, he couldn't go out on mission. But he committed his life to praying for missionaries. He was so committed that it was kind of number one in his life. He worked at a library and would spend his spare time there, praying for us missionaries. And when he felt God saying something or a scripture, he would just send it out. And it's past tense because Don died quite suddenly a year and a half ago, and it was a huge shock to us as missionaries because it felt like somebody had cut off somebody who was praying for you, who was supporting you, who was standing with you. And I've never met Don in my whole life. I've never met any of his family. Before he sent that email, I had no idea who he was or that he even existed on the earth. And yet I get upset about it because he was somebody who stood by us and prayed for us and supported us, even though he couldn't go and even though he knew he would probably never meet us. His heart for mission and for people overseas was so great that he was willing to give up that time. He was faithful. Next slide. So what can you do? I think one of the amazing things that's come through this morning is you can be yourself. You can write a letter. You can send some ketchup. You know, like little sachets of ketchup. How much they mean to people like us overseas. There was a Facebook forum for the expats in Albania, so it wasn't all just missionaries. But there was this huge issue one day because somebody said, do you know where you can get ketchup, Heinz ketchup? Because there's none left at the store. And so everybody went to their local shops and tried to find Heinz ketchup because suddenly there was no Heinz ketchup in Albania. It was a bit of a disaster for us all. We were getting it shipped in. There were options on how much it would be resold for. We were going to the big super... The supermarket was kind of an hour away from where we lived. But we'd go to the supermarket and say, could you explain to us why there's no ketchup and when there might be some more ketchup? And they were like, we can't say when there'll be some more. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, it might be in the country that you are praying for or know people in that they have plenty of ketchup. Don't send them ketchup then, because that's really disappointing when somebody sends you a whole box full of ketchup and you're like, yeah, great, you're going to send me some chocolate. Equally, choose your time when sending chocolate, I've learnt, because we would go to the post box to pick up our mail and our post, our letter, what's it called? Post? Parcels. And in the summer, you'd have this box and you knew what was in it. It just had the scent of Thornton's all over it. It had the anointing. And you knew it was the end of May. And when you opened it up, it would all be everywhere. Anyway, if you sent me one of those parcels, don't worry, I licked it out. Nothing was wasted. But just be careful when you're sending things. But, you know, I know for us, it was such an encouragement when you get a parcel. It was so exciting, I think for any of us. You know, when you get a parcel, it's not just a bill that comes through the letterbox. Somebody sent you a letter or sent you a parcel. How exciting that is. When you live overseas, the fact that somebody's thought about you that much to go and to post something and to spend their money and to think what they're going to put in it is just, it means the world to you. So just to encourage you, send, communicate with people, and go. If you're thinking of going on mission, go. Like Adrian said, there is that balance between short-term, long-term mission. I'm going to write a book on it because I've seen the horrors of short-term mission and I've seen the great rewards of short-term mission. But go, because it changes you, it changes the places you go to. And if you do it with God's anointing and God's calling, you are going to make a difference. And the Bible tells us the fields are white unto harvest and the labourers are few. And like everybody said, you go and you think, what difference can I make? I'm just one person. I'm just one starfish. What can I do? What have I got to offer? I'm not going to make any difference. But you are, by being you, whoever you are, even if you think, like we've all said, most unskilled, unable, unqualified people, what can I do? You can be you and you can make a difference, because if you make the difference to one person, you've changed the world. If you just sit here dreaming about it and imagining it and thinking about it and with that heart beating where God says, I'm calling you, and you're like, I'm not going to respond to that. What difference does that make? No difference. I remember when I was probably about 12, 13, for old school people, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And I've not even thought about that until quite recently. But I remember standing in our little Methodist church with my hands up. It was quite a lively Methodist church, quite charismatic. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And I would stand there crying. And I'd not even thought about this really until quite recently. We'd come back from Albania and God reminded me of those days and that song. And the fact that back then, I remember wanting to be wholly available for God. Here I am, wholly available. I didn't know it would take me onto the journeys and the adventures that God's taken me onto. But I did know I was willing to go. You can give
We have been so blessed and so grateful, and we know so many people here have given sacrificially to us that has made the difference, that meant that we could be there, that meant that those kids, that Eden's friends, that our neighbours, that strangers on the street could find out about God. You know, God does own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he's given us some of them to take care of. You can give, and you can be the person that you might not be able to go, but you can equip and enable somebody else to go. Those kids, 18 of those kids have made a commitment at the camp. Five of those places on that camp were paid for by people in this church. You know, they might not have heard the gospel if it hadn't been for people giving. And you can pray. Like my friend Don, you can pray. If you don't know any missionaries, I can tell you of lots of people who would be very grateful for your prayers, for your catch-up, for your thoughts, for your encouragement. One of the things I was just thinking about when Mandy was talking was Alison. When she came out to Albania, she was quite similar to Mandy. Well, what can I do? I'm just kind of, I'm a friend of Christine's and we're coming along on this mission trip and we don't really know what we can do. Alison just went and sat in a classroom with a teacher with children with autism and special needs. A very similar thing to Mandy's situation. In Albania, there's very little knowledge of autism, and if your child is autistic or has special needs, it brings shame onto your family. And so on the whole, you would just lock your child in the house because you don't want anybody to know that your child has special needs or has learning disabilities, because it shames you all. And Alison went to a nursery where there were children with special needs, but there's very, very few facilities and very little training. But because she did that, she really encouraged Yona, who was working with these kids, who had been learning herself how best to teach the children communication, to do routines and things. And Alison was just Alison, and just encouraged her and said, oh, you could try this. And actually, most of what Alison did was say, you're doing a great job. What you're doing is the right thing. You're doing a great job. And after that, Yona left the nursery where she was working and set up full, and went full-time in this centre for children with learning disabilities and autism. Because she'd been encouraged. Alison was like, oh, I didn't get those flashcards out. I didn't get this to her. I didn't get that to her. But she gave her encouragement, which gave her the freedom then to step out and to dare to do something. There's another slide. You won't be able to read this. It says, I used to pray that God would feed the hungry and do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. I'll read it again. I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. God doesn't need us. God didn't need me to go to Albania to be a missionary. He doesn't need Sam. He didn't need Adrian or Mandy or Rowan or Philip or any of us. God is Almighty God. He invites us because he loves us and he wants us to share in an adventure with him, to share in the story with him. It might not be that you're going to Africa or Asia or other distant places in Europe or the Americas. It might be that God is calling you to be Jesus, like Rowan was saying, where you are. When we were coming back, I talked to Eden and Timmy about being a missionary and said, when you go back to England, what will change? I mean, we won't be missionaries anymore. I went, won't you? Then they knew that was the wrong answer. Well, yes, we will, Mummy, we will be. Yes, we will still be. Why will you? Because we will be. Well, what about your friends at school? Well, they'll all be Christians, Mum, because they live in England. We talked about Owen, except this situation's changed a bit now. We said to Owen, I said, who is a missionary then? Who has the hardest job as a missionary? Is it Daddy or is it Owen? They understood that Owen's mission was his classroom, was his school. They knew our mission was Burima, was our neighbourhood, was our community. But they knew actually our life wasn't that difficult, because we loved what we were doing. It was really easy in terms of we were living our lives just being us. It's quite hard, I'm sure, not only for Owen when he was in his classroom, but for lots of you in your places of influence. It's harder to be Jesus when you see the drunk outside Morrison's and you're like, flipping Kirby. It's harder then, isn't it? It's harder to be Jesus when you see those people who really get on your nerves, who just... Give me the strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. Mother Teresa said that. She was Albanian. She was very wise. There's another slide. If you're waiting for a sign, this is it. That's it. You are called to go to the ends of the earth, to go to the ends of your patience, to go to the ends of your wit, to go to the ends of your dreams. Not just because this is the end of the 3-week series, this has been rather marvellous, don't you think, Gary? But because we are all called to be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to your end of your earth, you are called to go out. So if your place, if God is telling you, I want you to go to this weird country, I want to tell you this morning, go, because from my experience, it is the most amazing, brilliant, fantastic thing ever. And it's much harder when you come home, back to your passport country, whatever the blog says it's supposed to be. If God is calling you to be a witness in your workplace, do it. And I felt this really strongly as I was thinking about this morning. I really, really, really feel that there's somebody, but there's probably more than one, who knows God has put you in a certain workplace and he wants you to be a witness in that place. And you know God is telling you to step up and to speak out, and you haven't got round to doing it yet. I just want to tell you, God knows, but he's asking you to do it. And I don't know who it is, but if that's you, we would love to pray for you and to pray for the boldness and the daring in your workplace to stand up, to stand out, and to be the witness. If God is calling you to another nation, we would love to pray for you. We, I'm presuming somebody else apart from me, or the royal we, me, myself and I, we would love to pray for you for all that it involves going to another nation, whether it's short term, long term, or you don't know. If you just think, God, I don't know what my purpose is. It's all right, all this talk about mission and stuff, but what do I do? What have I got to offer? I'd love to pray for you. See, I would love to pray for you for that. Because I do know that God has a purpose for all of us. He has a plan for each of our lives. And sometimes it takes us going to another nation to find out being me is not so bad. Because we're all quite good at being me. Not being me, obviously being you, being me, being... But we all have a purpose. We all have a reason. We all have places that we are a witness. And we are witnessing too. So, show some music. That's always what you do, isn't it? I'm like, nah, nah. I could hum a tune. It's not as good as Paul Bell, though. So, Janet, what should we do? Pray, just pray. Okay. I'll just pray. Put my hands on the lectern and pray. The anointing is here in this place. Lord God, we thank you that you have valued us so much that you've written our name into the palm of your hand. We're never out of your sight. We're never far from you. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to live, to die, to redeem every moment of our lives, for every moment, for the good, the bad, the challenges, the wonderful moments, that you're with us in them all. God, I pray for the places that we're witnesses. I pray for our lives to be glorifying to you. I pray that you'll give us opportunities to speak out, to step out, to go. God, we don't want to be people who are just here on a Sunday morning and go, that was nice, and walk home. We want to be people who are living our lives for you, 100% wholly available. God, we know that the fields are white unto harvest, the fields in Kirkby, the fields in Ravenshead, the fields in Sutton, the fields in Mansfield, the fields in this nation, as well as the fields across the earth. Lord God, we know there are people who are desperate, desperate. And there are people who need to know you. God, help us to be your workers. Help us to be your hands and feet and mouth. God, take us to the places that you want us to go. And let us not be afraid. Let us see Jesus in the people we walk by. Let us see Jesus in the people we sit next to. Let us see Jesus in that driver behind us or in front of us who is sending us mad. Let us see you in all around us, and let other people see you in us. God, take us to the ends of the earth. I'd just like to say, if you would like to respond to any of this that's been talked about, and really just, I'd like you to stand up because it's about go is an action word. If you'd like to respond to say, God, I want to go into my workplace and be a better witness for you. God, I'd like to go into my school and be a better witness for you. God, I'd like to go into the hospital, into the doctor's surgery, into the dentist. God, I want to go into the local shop and be a better witness for you. To dare to speak for you, then I'd like you to stand up this morning. God, here we are, wholly available. We've acted because we want you to take us seriously on our commitment. We've stood because we want to stand in your presence and say, God, take me to where you want me to go. Lead me to where you want me to go. Put me to doing, put me to being. Lay me aside, but let me be all that you want me to be. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. God, take us seriously today. Help us to see the opportunities before us and help us to go into those places. Set a guard over our mouths. Give us your eyes and give us your ears. Give us wisdom. And take us out, Lord God, we pray. Amen.